Hey, Chris Manning here from Locked On Cavs. Coming up on today's show, it is the second part of our dive into the awards. We're doing Sixth Man of the Year, Most Valuable Player, and then also, because we don't really want to do Coach of the Year, we'll do Comeback Player of the Year Award. That's all coming up today on Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
My, my, my. It's called the Kevin Love Show.
Kyrie Irving, he's gone. Xbox at him tonight at the cube.
On the blow block. He put him in cement boots. Colin Sexton for two.
Evan, we're banging these out. Everyone knows we're recording these in a stretch, so I know you're doing good. I know you're hydrating. I'm hydrating. Let's dive into it. Where do you want to start with this one?
Let's start with Sixth Man of the Year, and who is your national pick for Sixth Man of the Year? I was trying to be creative, and it didn't work.
No, it's good. I'm going to give you a pick that I think is weird, because I don't think it's who's going to win, and I just kind of want to at least make sure we mention him. So I'm picking Dennis Schroeder.
Oh, okay. I think that's a fair one.
I've never been a Dennis Schroeder person.
Neither have I. He's been really good for OKC. OKC is my feel-good story of the year, if you really wanted to go that far and say, like, if we were to give that award out. But I went to counter your Luka Doncic most approved player pick. I'm going with either Montrezl Harrell or Lou Williams. You could sell me on either of them, but those two off the bench for the Clippers is such a cheap cheat code. And if you really had to like hold a gun to my head, I think I'd pick Trez as my sixth man option.
There's a really good case for that. And I think in a different world, like, he'd be an interesting, like, Cavs don't trade for Drummond, have cap space, spend it on Trez. I don't think that's like the craziest alternate reality.
You've been talking to Jeff Navino recently, have you? Because that was his pitch for the longest. I love Nam, most handsome member of Cavs Twitter, and
had his mother-in-law tweeted him over tweeting a picture of him touching his wife's torso, let's say.
I thought he tweeted that address directly, and he posted it on the gram. If you don't follow him or not, Chris, I don't know that.
I do. I called him out on the pod, and he followed me, so I called him down.
Good stuff.
Using my platform for good.
There you go. I mean, hey, I use my platform to bully Justin Rowan into following me, because I'm like, wow, Justin, I support your podcast. You don't even follow me, but that's just... Either way, there is a scenario, and Jeff was a big advocate of it, where before the Cavs spent all their cap space on Andre Drummond's player option next year, he said the Cavs throwing an offer at Trez would be a lot of fun, but I think Trez also doesn't work as well as a player if he's not playing in a winning situation like he is with the Clippers. If you threw him in Cleveland, he'd be a large disappointment for the amount of money he's probably going to get from some team this year.
That's fair. There's a definite concern of, like, you pull the guy out of that ecosystem and, like, what does he look like? You know, we don't know, but, you know, the skills, there's at least some encouraging stuff with the skill set. Lou Williams is also a good pick. Like, Lou Williams is just perpetually,
that's the most,
like,
boring
he's taken
though.
Yeah, but he has taken, like, the Jamal Crawford. He's going to get a lot of votes for this thing.
I mean, he's also the only player still who has had two girlfriends, and they were both okay with it, so... Just a fascinating. Lou Williams is he's just an interesting player, and he's just really found that niche with the Clippers and with the Rockets and the Lakers, and even starting with the Raptors. And he's won Sixth Man of the Year three times, back to back at this point, and it's likely going to be back to back to back, just because how vital he is to the Clippers right now. And oh man, the money that the Clippers initially got him for is still like criminal in my opinion. Like, they got him for a steal.
Yeah, it's ridiculously cheap contract. Funny to think that he was on the Rockets before this too, and it seems like he would have like helped them.
Oh my gosh, he'd be so good. There's so many players I think about that'd be so good on the Rockets, and they're just trying to be cute playing PJ Tucker at center.
Well, I think they traded him in the Chris Paul trade, if I remember correctly.
They did.
So like,
and then
I
that didn't
I
really
it,
work
you know.
Out, but
true. My pick for Schroeder is basically almost a career high in points, basically like 0.4 above what he did in his last season. With Atlanta, played 31 minutes a game, was as good as on defense as he's ever been. Really was a key part of those three-guard lineups they were doing with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Chris Paul, and himself as a, as part of a closing lineup. Like, he's just never played better. Only started one game for OKC. I just, again, I'm not a big shooter guy, but like, has never shot this well from three, has never shot this well from the field, has never shot this well on two-point attempts. Like, everything he's done, he's just leveled up, and he was part of a really good team, a weird team that I really just had a random... I'm kind of excited to watch to see what the Thunder are in the bubble. Not so much because of him, per se, but he's a reason of, like, their success, and I just think he deserves some shine for being a key cog on that team.
Yeah. No, Dennis Schroeder's just been a lot of fun, and I think... I don't know how much longer OKC is going to be able to hold on to him. He is with the Thunder through next season, but then he's a free agent, and I'm sure he's going to get a contract from somebody. But no, he's really found a niche in Oklahoma City. And again, the Thunder are my feel-good story of the year, where I thought they were dead in the water the moment they traded for Chris Paul, because the consensus feel around Chris Paul after the Rockets flamed out with him and James Harden kind of leading the show is like, yeah, he's washed, he can't shoot anymore, like blah, 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 can't do anything right. And then Chris Paul found new life in Oklahoma City, and then that three-guard lineup, it's weird, but for some reason it works. And I think also having Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, like, really take that jump in his next year as an NBA player, like, is huge for his development and just OKC's trajectory as well. But like, no, Dennis Schroeder knows what his role is, I think, at this point, as a high, as a good, decent enough guard off the bench. And again, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of his game overall, but it works for the Thunder and just kind of makes this feel good story possible.
Yeah. Who's your Cavs pick?
My pick is Larry Nance. He is the best player, one of the best players on the roster, but he solely does it off the bench for the Cavs. We have recently discovered through the last few games with the Cavs not playing, he can play the three as well. He did joke about it at Media Day when everyone's actual height came out that he's not as tall as people thought he was, and he could play more three because of it. And no, Larry Nance just does a little bit of... He's a jack-of-all-trades, master of none for the Cavs, and a high-energy player on top of that. So, and that's exactly what any team needs, and the ability to have it to a player that's likely not going anywhere because of his namesake is awesome for the Cavs, and he's totally comfortable coming off the bench and doesn't seem too upset about it. So I'm happy having him on the roster, and I think he's Cleveland's sixth man.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that one bit. I think in just terms of his impact, his versatility, his kind of place, you know, on the team, I don't think there's, like, really, like, another candidate, really. Mm-hmm. Like, he... In terms of games started, like, of guys that played meaningful minutes, every other guy that basically played a significant amount of minutes for the team and, like, throughout the whole year amid all the roster churn, like, basically started, right? So, like, Sexton, starter. Jetty, starter. Yes. Garland, starter. Kevin Love, starter. Tristan Thompson came off the bench six times, but started the vast, vast majority of games. Larry Nance got 10 starts, but came off the bench in 46 appearances.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the next notable bench piece is, like, Matthew Dellavedova, who played 12 fewer minutes a game than Nance, and I think is a significantly less impactful player at this point in his career.
Yeah, no, I mean, Deli's just kind of a bummer. I mean, maybe you can make a better case for Deli if his three-point shot didn't totally abandon him this season, but no, Larry Nance has just been a spark plug. I mean, he's found his niche. He found his niche with the Cavs, and I think it's just a role that works best for him. And like you said, like, a lot of the players listed are just some of the better players for the Cavs, at least, are starters, so you get more minutes of that situation. But it also doesn't matter if Larry Nance isn't starting the games. He's likely to be finishing most of them, especially when the Cavs find wrinkles at work like they did under JB so far, and it doesn't really matter. And just know Larry is going to be invaluable to this team going forward, because I think he just kind of sets the tone for what energy level the Cavs are going to play with on a nightly basis.
There's no one else really that I think, like Kevin Porter Jr. obviously, I think, has, like, yeah, a piece. But, like, I just think he's not as impactful.
Larry's been more consistent.
I think it's really about the potential more than anything else.
Yeah. No, Kevin Porter, you could sell me on the potential, but Larry's just been more consistent on a nightly basis than KPJ. That's just kind of where I'm at there, too.
Yes. All right. Let's take a break here. Come back. We'll talk about comeback player. We'll save MVP for last right after this. All right, Evan. Who is What's your up? Comeback player of the year for the league? This is not an actual award anymore. No. I think it should be. Just like I think I'm pro, just let's give more awards. Let's stroke those egos. But who would be your comeback player of the year award?
My pick would be Chris Paul. because a lot of like what I touched on in the last segment, we were talking about Dennis Schroeder. When Chris Paul was traded to Oklahoma City, I feel like the Thunder were a consensus pick to be one of the worst teams in the league this year and possibly next year, and then they build around like Cade Cunningham and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and just kind of move forward from there. And like the Thunder are a bit of a revelation in the fact that you have Steven Adams, you have Danilo Gallinari, you have Shai, you have Chris Paul, you have all these other pieces that have come in. I mean, Steven Adams is always there, but they just kind of figured it out, and Billy Donovan has kind of showed that he knows how to coach, and it was maybe more so Russ than it was, and Paul George just turning into a pumpkin in the playoffs, and Melo coming off the bench. There's a lot of different things going wrong for Billy Donovan that just kind of shows that he still is a good coach, and it all starts with Chris Paul just accepting his situation, and it frustrates me because I wish Kevin Love did the same thing, where he's a veteran player in a possibly losing situation with a young roster and a couple veterans that might be on the way out. Make the most of it and help grow towards the franchise's future, and it's been a lot of fun to watch OKC grow and develop, and it's all because of Chris Paul. I'm surprised at how good he's been this season.
That is a really good pick. I did not think of that, and I'm mad at myself for not. That's a really inventive way of looking at that award.
It's okay. I look at players that are like, they were really good at one point, the national narrative is like down on them, and then they've come back this year and just played like an absolute gangbuster and showed like, no, I still got it the tank, and would not be surprised if people are reapproaching Oklahoma City this year in trade talks for Chris Paul, and then they get him even bigger cachet of trade assets going forward because they have so much after getting Chris Paul from the Clippers.
Yes. Here's just some of the guys that I thought about when we did a quick Google on this and kind of thought about it. Michael Carter-Williams coming off.
I think that's a really good one.
Coming off a lot of injuries, was playing actually really well, and I'm not a big MTW guy.
No.
Like one of the worst rookie of the years, you know, but like had significant injuries, comes back to the league on a 10-day contract end of last season, helps to make the playoffs, and then he has injuries this year, but he ends up playing his best basketball like in a long time.
No, I think.
And shot like over 40% from three after being like a 25% shooter.
I think that's a really good pick. He's
another
that's not
player. My actual pick.
I know, but I'm saying like I think that's a really good pick. Like that's a player who's found his niche in Orlando and is just really good. I kind of like what the Magic are doing. If Markel Fultz works out, the Magic are going to be in a pretty damn good place in terms of like point guard and just depth overall. But you know, let me hear your actual pick.
It's Gordon Hayward.
I can see that because he got the Chris Paul treatment last year too, for me especially.
He got the Chris Paul treatment. I will never forget like where I was and what I was doing when I watched. I was on a work trip in California watching that game in my hotel room with the guy I was on the trip with.
When he turned his ankle.
When he destroyed his leg in Cleveland.
I was putting it gently. He turned his ankle 180 degrees, but
yeah. Those are kind of injuries that are just really hard to come back from, and like he had it late in his late 20s.
Yeah, it was unfortunate.
You know, and he's not the same. Like Tatum has obviously evolved in a way that makes him not as maybe a focal point as Boston thought he might be when they signed him, and obviously got Kyrie that same summer. But he's shooting above 50% again. He's shooting almost 40% from three. Like points are back up to almost 18 a game. Like he's putting up really good numbers again. He's back to more of the Gordon Hayward that was in Utah.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
You know, like I think just the severity of his injury is just so hard for me to forget. And I'll never be able to really forget that because it was just that and the Paul George Warner, and obviously both very recent, but probably the two most gruesome injuries I've watched in basketball in my life.
I think it's those two or the Sean Livingston one after I watched footage.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That one was brutal as well. But no, that the Hayward thing I remember, I was watching it live at my apartment in Cleveland at the time, and I was so hyped up for that game because it's the first game like after the Cavs traded Kyrie, and it's Boston versus Cleveland. And obviously, Kyrie's in Boston, LeBron's in Cleveland. Like, there's a lot of stuff going towards it, and then all the air left my apartment, and like you could feel like all the energy left the arena after Hayward turned his ankle, and like a lot of people dogged him the following season. Like he wasn't spectacular for the Boston, largely coming off the bench. His contract was viewed as a huge albatross. I considered it one as well, where I was saying like, hey, if the Cavs wanted to like recoup some assets from the Celtics because they are pretty rich with them. They could maybe take on that Hayward contract, and it's starting to turn out okay for him at this point. Like you said, he's had a very solid season so far, and he has a massive player option lingering, so he'll probably opt into that. But no, he's more or less become more of the player he was in Utah than he was at his peak, and it's a shame we never really got to see the peak of Gordon Hayward in a good system in Boston, but he's really turned around, and I think that's a good pick.
Yeah, pretty obvious to me just because of the injury aspect of it, but I really, really like the Chris Paul pick. I really, really like that pick.
I'm proud of myself.
Who's your Cavs pick?
So I said last episode I was not going to give consistent awards, but at this point, like, the Cavs options are limited, and my pick is Tristan Thompson on this one, just because of the fact that 2 years in a row he averaged a double-double and was such a good player for Cleveland. Like, I thought it wasn't sustainable, and it turns out, like, oh no, this is, we're seeing a little bit of the old Tristan Thompson after people were kind of down on him after that injury year he had and the final Cavs run, where, like, the Iron Man streak and just the longevity caught up to him and his body started breaking down. Like, we're starting to see that Tristan Thompson is still a legitimately good player, and arguably one of the, he has cemented his status as a top 10 player in Cavs history in these last 2 years.
All for it. I'm going to just because I want to mention them and I want to try to give some people some awards, I'm going to do a Cog comeback player of the year. And it's just because of the fact they've come back from injuries, and I'm going to give it to Dante Exum, and I'm going to give it to Darius Garland. These are weird picks. Yeah, Darius is a rookie. I'm skirting the rules. I'm inventing my own rules on the fly.
Well, this isn't a made-up award, so I guess that's fair.
Yes, this is the only one I feel comfortable doing that with. Look, he comes back. He plays a lot of minutes for the Cavs, like over 30 minutes a night. Obviously had some injury issues towards the end there. You know, there's been some kind of feelers out there in terms of what his health is now, some little issues with his body amid the quarantine, but you know, we'll find out more in September theoretically. But look, comes back from injury and puts up a pretty, you know, solid kind of redshirty kind of transition year rookie season. And look, Dante Exum, the more and more I think about it, I just don't know what his future really is. It seems like he was like, just, it's not going to work for him for whatever reason. But this is a guy that was really encouraging as a rookie. Obviously was very injured the year before and at least got some consistent minutes for the Cavs when he was healthy. And I'm glad for him that he's at least getting a chance to play a little bit. And like him just getting a chance to play, even though he's injured now and was going to miss an extended period of time when before the season comes down, he gets hurt in late February. Like, I'm at the very least glad that he was getting some run and had some really good moments before, you know, he got hurt again.
Yeah, I agree. The Darius Garland one is weird for me, but after you made that pitch, it makes a lot more sense. But the Dante Exum one, I still have, like, pause with, because this is a golden opportunity for him in Cleveland to salvage his career at this point. I mean, when he was coming into the draft, for people who are listening, like, he was at his ceiling was considered what Penny Hardaway was at his peak in Orlando, like that good, and like you could see the potential for it. Like, he could be a very, very good player, but injuries ravaged Dante, and then the Jazz kept trying to be as patient as possible with him and wait and see what they had of them, but it just never worked out. And then it's a shame. And like, but he hasn't been able to stay consistently healthy, at least in my opinion, or at least crack the rotation in Cleveland. And he will be the Cavs' first guard, at least off the bench, if Colin Sexton and Darius Garland are both starting next season. So he'll get the most of that opportunity there. Like, I could see, like, this is a long-term play where it's comeback player, and then, like, you just see a Dante Exum that we kind of expect. But the Garland one I had problems with, but you did make the pitch where, like, he's just kind of redshirting this year. And I don't know, maybe this is an award we need to approach after we have more time with some of these players. Like, Tristan's going to be gone, but, like, we could really dive deep into, like, Darius and Dante next year if they're both here through the midway point is for the Cavs.
Tristan is like the Chris Paul type candidate. There's not really like an injury candidate. I'm just shoehorning guys in. Well, that's what I'm doing. I'll admit it.
That's fair, but you're still jealous of my Chris Paul pick, so I'm gonna.
It's a really good pick. Evan, yes or no? Would you pencil in trying to give X some minutes next year?
Trying to give X some minutes, absolutely.
Yeah, let's say he's healthy. Like, just try to play him just no matter what to see if you can get something out of him.
Yeah, no, you should still bring Dele back as like a stopgap safety valve veteran option for the Cavs, in my opinion. And like, you're not going to use that money on many other players besides that mid-level exception. But Dele's definitely not getting that. But Dele is more so like break glass in case of emergency kind of situation, and I think you should give Exum as many minutes and opportunities as you can to see if he has a long-term fit with the squad, and then you maybe figure out an extension or something else from there. And I think you give him minutes next season.
Yeah, really interesting player. Weird player, but I remember writing about this when they got him. There's some needs that I would say he could theoretically fill. But all right, one last break, and we're going to do MVP. That's right after this. Evan, I think we are going to have the same NBA MVP. Who's your pick?
My pick's Giannis. It's yeah, the boring it's pick, but Giannis is the best player in the league, and back-to-back, like, sure, you can make a case for James Harden, whatever. Sure, you can make a case for LeBron and the fact that he's a... That'd be another interesting comeback player pick for the Lakers, because LeBron's really bounced back and, like, still is...
It would be an incredible Washed King. I would buy so many Washed King comeback player t-shirts.
Oh, same. God... Imagining LeBron having, like, comeback player of the year is, like, one of his trophies that he displays in his trophy cabinet, if people actually have those or not, but,
There'd be so many Instagram posts about it.
Oh, for sure. Like, I'm at a loss for words, then he posts, like, a book worth of text on his Instagram caption, but, LeBron makes sense as an MVP pick, but, like, Giannis has just been by and far the best player for the best team in the league, arguably the best team in the league this year, and... It's a layup. Like, Giannis, I think, has a firm grasp on this award until there's a challenger that it comes at him for it.
I agree. Best team, best player on the best team. He's putting up absurd numbers in 31 minutes a game. You know, not gonna say that it's like anything against him. In terms of his like team, like him not in the play 31 minutes a game. LeBron's my number two. Mm-hmm. I think, and it's pretty close in terms of, like, it's not like, Giannis is my pick, but I don't think it's, like, insignificantly close.
I don't think it's unanimous like it was for Curry that one year. I think Giannis is going to rack up a ton of votes, though, but I think LeBron will get plenty as well.
Yeah, like, the CBS poll has him at, like, 80% of the vote for this. So 80% of the first place votes, and then LeBron got 31 points in their poll, and Giannis got 41. Mm-hmm. Who else would have been on your ballot? I want to just dive down this ballot a little bit. Kawhi, I think, deserves some votes. Kawhi definitely gets some. Deserves some votes.
Yeah, Luka as well. I'm thinking of the Eastern Conference right now. There's not many players are coming up in my mind. I think it's just those guys. Maybe you give some to Anthony Davis as well, just because of how good he's been at the Lakers. Like, it's a tough pick, man. Maybe Dame. Dame's been, like, instrumental to the Blazers as well, even though Portland isn't a great team, but you can make a case for him. Maybe Steph Curry.
Harden has to probably be there, unfortunately.
Harden does as well, and I kind of forget about him, unfortunately, just because, like, the Rockets annoy me so much that they try to turn basketball into a homework assignment that I, like, tune them out to begin with. But, you can make a case for Steph just because of how bad the fact that the Warriors just bottomed out. Maybe it's more so credit to Kevin Durant as well, like how bad the Warriors are without their two best players. Like, you can make a case for those two as well. If, like you say, like in terms of value, that's pretty valuable. But yeah, it's just mostly Western Conference players. But the further you get down the ballot, like the murkier it gets, though. Like after LeBron, it's like you could make a case for a few select players.
Yeah, Luka's probably my number three.
I can see that.
I think Dame would get it. If I could give a vote, Dame would get a vote for me if I had.
Well, if you gave him a vote and he'd get snubbed for the award when he writes his SoundCloud rap, Chris, he'd give you a nice shout out as well. So
that's
a heady play, like, on your part.
Dame's a top three guy that I just like in the league, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, Dame's so... Oh, my God. He is such a fun player to watch. And,
well, and just... I just respect his ability to, like, actually, like, walk the walk with the culture stuff. Because a lot of that when guys say it is just utter bullshit. And Dame actually, like, from every person that ever talks about him, it's like, oh, this is, like, a real thing with him.
No, he's a good dude. I remember when he was, like, a rookie or sophomore player, he went to some random mall in Portland and was just, like, tweeting, like, random locations saying, all right, if you want free shoes, come get them. And he was just giving out free shoes to kids because he wants to connect with the community, and, like, he's just a big advocate for being a Blazer and being a part of the Portland community and giving back to the Oakland community where he's from as well. Like, Dame's just a good dude, and his story, and, like, him and CJ McCollum both, their stories are fascinating because... I think you tweeted a picture once of CJ McCollum and, oh my God,
Kostakoufis
when they played for Glen Oak and Canton. Hate that high school when we played them in football and wrestled them and everything, but CJ was such like a small kid compared to like a bunch of grown men looking players. Like it's remarkable both him and Dame's story and how they became one of the most fun backcourts in the NBA.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. Okay.
What's your Cavs pick?
Tristan Thompson.
Oh, mine's Colin Sexton.
So Colin has a really good pick, but
I'm just trying to keep people from getting mad at us too.
I think Colin's a really good pick. I kind of thought you would pick him. Hmm. I picked Tristan just because I'm putting a lot of stake in him just like being the adult in the room.
That's fair.
Screwed up season, and like I'll say this. I'm gonna just give them Co because Tristan is the MVP in terms of like his ability to actually like lead the team and like be the adult and keep like a very shaky ship like going. Colin just doesn't have that voice as a leader in the locker room yet.
Not yet, but he's.
I don't think that's just him.
I think he's getting the respect of his teammates, which is huge because
it's not like a day one like they're deferring to him kind of thing.
No, it's
but
like Kevin Love's PR thing, like talking about how good Colin is. Like at first I thought it was good PR because everyone like talks about how they hate each other. Then you start to realize they don't hate each other. Kevin was just frustrated at the situation. Like, no, I think it's genuine when his teammates say, like, yeah, no, Colin's going to be the next best player for this team. And I think Tristan rubbing off on him a little bit in just of terms of being, like, a workout warrior will make Colin endearing to the rest of his teammates when Tristan's gone.
Yeah, 100%. I'll just say I think the Colin argument is basically just, like, he was the most – led the team in scoring, was the kind of the lead creator of the offense. Mm-hmm. Like, again, not a very good offense, not a very good team, but, like, carried a lot of the offensive weight at a very young age, and a lot was thrown at him, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for putting up really good numbers, all things considered.
Yeah, no, that's where I was, at least. He's the team's leading scorer. He just keeps growing and growing as a player, and I, again, feel uncomfortable putting an actual cap on where he is going to end up, but I'm just excited to see where he goes, and I think Colin has just firmly cemented himself as the best, if not the second best player on Cleveland's roster after this season, and that's why you give him MVP nods in my eyes.
Yeah, I think he'd be the second best guy, just because I would like the Kevin Love rep is probably like still keeps Kevin ahead.
I agree,
but it's notable to me that we did not mention Kevin Love once during any of this.
Yeah, I kind of felt bad. Like, I thought about maybe giving him a comeback award because he could show he could stay healthy and everything, but
I didn't even, like, it's another one of those things I was just like, I breezed kind of by it.
Yeah, it's just like Kevin was just kind of here, and he made the headlines for all the wrong reasons with the Cavs this year, and, like, I've just kind of resigned myself to the fact that he's not a part of the long-term future, obviously, and I'm just kind of focusing more so on players, and then Tristan is, like, the only lingering player just because he's been a consummate professional, and everything Kevin hasn't been, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. He's going to be here next year, folks, so maybe we'll be giving Kevin a little bit more consideration for however long he's here next year.
I mean, if you want to look at, like, him, if there's, like, an argument for him to pull up his – I'm going to just pull up his kind of – him in context of the team. Like, played a lot of minutes, like, was still pretty productive, kind of in a different way. We talked about this a little bit when we talked about Drummond earlier this week. Like, he's definitely more of a spacer now. But, like, has the high, like, his value of a replacement is 1.8. Collins is 0.1, is 0.1.
Mm-hmm.
That's not insignificant. And that's a catch-all stat. Like, you know, I think Colin deserves a lot of credit for what he is. But Kevin's probably still, like, in a vacuum, like, the best guy. But, like, second, Colin has the highest usage rate on the ahead of him. Like, Drummond technically is higher, but only played, like, 8 games. So I don't really count it. You know, like, Kevin's rebounding was good. His assist numbers are better. Like, the defensive stuff is what it is. But there's definitely an argument that Kevin is, like, still in a vacuum the best guy. It just doesn't feel like he contributes a ton in this context and kind of the version he's at.
I think Kevin would be a lot better. Like, we talked about it two episodes ago when we talked about the trading him to Brooklyn. I think he'd be really good for any team that is in a contending situation who can maximize the usage of what his abilities are at. It's just kind of like a Minnesota situation here. He's not going to put up those extreme numbers like he did with the Timberwolves, where he was averaging like 20 and almost 20 at one point with the Wolves. Like, he's never going to do that with the Cavs, but I think his numbers are slightly inflated just because he's playing for a bad team. But Kevin's also had a good taste of what playing meaningful basketball is, and is just putting in the most minimal effort possible so that he isn't considered a massive detriment to the team. But at the same time, like, he's keeping his eyes on other situations because he's ready to get the hell out of here. And I think, I'm firmly of the mentality where I think it's just for the best for the Cavs to move on from Kevin Love at this point. But it just depends on if they're able to.
I think there's a clear way to make him work.
There is.
But it takes.
I just don't know the team's willing to do that.
I think if you if you actually design the offense in the right way, there's a way this all can work out for everyone. Next year will be a big test if that happens.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Because it's not like it's not like he's not going to buy any JB.
No. We'll leave it at guy, that. So I think that's nothing to worry about. But it's just buy into the situation as a whole. If the Cavs are winning early on, you're going to get a Kevin Love who's like more mentally focused and chucked in. But if like the Cavs are throwing up a lot of stinkers early in the year, or whenever the Cavs do resume play, like post-Chicago bubble, you're going to get a mentally checked out Kevin Love again, and then it's just going to be ugly all over again.
Yes. Well, with that, there's our ballot. There's everything we did for this pod, diving into everything with the awards. Let us know what you think at LockedOnCavs, or email us, and we'll maybe share some of your picks if you have them as well, and specifically on the Cavs awards, because we cover those and we're actually trying to cover the Cavs, you know, in a significant way.
Or review it on iTunes, and if you give us 5 stars, able to read the 5-star reviews if you have something positive or if you like something you want to debate with us.
Yeah, if you leave us a 5-star review and give us your award picks, we'll read them on the show.
Yeah, no, that's what we're planning on doing, that more to give you guys more of a shout out, because we do appreciate you consistently listening with us through COVID Cavs.
Yes, we appreciate you. Thanks for sticking with us. Book club again later this week. Check out the LaMelo Ball episode. Check out everything we have up in the feed right now. But again, back with the book club tomorrow. And thanks for listening. Stay safe out there, and we'll talk to you guys soon. We'll be right back.